You getting it? Okay, perfect. Wow. Well, it's good to be here. We had a great night last night. We looked at the road to the impossible. And what are the things that we can do to team with God in order to bring about His supernatural power to our lives? And so we talked about coming to God. We talked about as we come, we get a revelation of who He is in a greater way. And in this revelation, we focus on Him. We saw in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You." And we saw that in that very act, he was able to build his faith, and faith fuels the journey. And that in that place of faith, in the place of great revelation from God, what was Jehoshaphat able to do? He was able to surrender the battle to the Lord. And in that place of surrender, out of his being and out of the being of the worship team that he sent before the army, the natural result is praise. Praise and thanksgiving pave the way in our lives. And that we want praise and thanksgiving to go before us in all situations. And so, having said that, I want to begin just by reading Psalm 148. And it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters and skies above. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that they will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the nations, princes and rulers of the earth, young men, women, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and He has raised up for us, His people, a horn, the praise of His faithfulness and His servants of Israel. Let the people close to His heart praise the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. And Lord, we praise You today. Wow. Lord, our lips were created to praise You. Our thoughts were created to bring You glory. Our heart was created to pour out love to You. Lord, we are Yours. We are Yours. We belong to You. You are our King. You are our Father. You are our Shepherd. You are our Lover. You are our Savior. And we worship You today, Lord. We are not defeated. We are the people of God. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare today that we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours in Christ. And we have a high priest and an intercessor who forever lives to intercede for us. And because of that, our salvation is assured. And so, Lord, we rise up today and we give You thanks. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that Your word, though the heavens and earth shall pass away, the word of the Lord shall endure forever. And we are so grateful for this, Father. And Lord, we ask that the power of Your word today would go from the page to the heart. And we would become the living word of God. And people would read our lives. And they would see Christ. And they would see Your glory. Lord, that's our prayer. Here we are, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us today with faith. Fill us today with Your word and Your power and Your amazing love. Lord, we want it all. And we ask You today Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come in our lives today as it is in heaven. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. We are your grateful children. Oh, Lord, we can rest in you. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. And I am excited. I'm very excited about what God is doing in the world today.
Yeah.
He is on the move. We are not, as I said last night, we don't live by chance. The winds of the world do not determine our lives. This pandemic was not unanticipated by God, and he's using it. And I believe with all my heart his greater glory is coming to our lives and to our cities and our towns and our families because of the pandemic. Why? Because God will turn everything for good and God will use everything for his glory. And that's why we want to live supernatural lives. And so I want to talk about the kingdom of God and what it means to live in the kingdom of God and why we were created. And who we are in Christ, because this is our foundation. And what does it mean to live in authority, to exercise the power of God in every sphere of our life? That is what we were made for. And we are believing God for it. So I ask you, why were you created? Why did God make you? As we read scripture, we have the revelation that the primary reason for our creation is the glory of God. That we were created to receive and reflect the glory of God. So what is the glory of God? I mean, we sing about it, we pray about it, we ask God for it, but what is the glory of God? And how does it work in our lives? Well, Moses wanted to see the glory of God, didn't he? Exodus chapter 33 and 34, and I just want to read some of that to you now. So in Exodus chapter 33, Moses comes and he says, Lord, show me your glory. It was the hunger of his life to see the glory of God. And then in Exodus chapter 34, God comes, and starting in verse 5, it says this, then the Lord came down in a cloud, and he stood there with him. And he proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. And Moses bowed to the ground, and he worshiped the Lord. So what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the revelation of God himself. The glory of God is God, basically the invisible God, becoming visible. It is God showing all his character, his attributes, his power. It's almost as if God's standing behind a curtain and we say, Lord, show me your glory. And he opens the curtain and we get a greater revelation of who God is. The glory of God is the revelation of God to us and through us. That is why we were made. So imagine with me for a moment. Before creation, only God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when the Son would look at the Father, what would he see? His glory. And the Father would see the glory of the Son, and there the glory of God emanated in his eternal triune being. And yet for some reason, God decided to create. What is creation? Creation is the spilling forth of the glory of God. That's what creation is. And so when you look at a mountain, how do you feel? What do you think when you see this mountain? You think thoughts like big, powerful, awesome, majestic. Why? Because that mountain was created to shout forth, God is big, God is great, God is powerful, God is immovable. That's why the mountain was created. Or imagine you're walking in the forest by a stream and the wind is blowing through the trees and the birds are singing. How do you feel? Peace. Joy. Why? Because the birds and the trees and the wind and the river and all of the creation is shouting forth, God is peace, God is joy, God is life, God is love. This is why God created, so that he could show everyone, look, this is what I am like. And that's why in Romans chapter 1 it says that when people stand before God, they have no excuse. Well, what will God say? He'll basically say, look, look, I gave you creation. And that is my witness of who I am. And the amazing thing is this, you and I, man and woman, are the only part of creation created in the image of God. Do you know who you are? You are God going public. That's who you are. Now, you're not God, and you'll never be God, but you were created to receive and reflect the glory of God. That's the reason why God made you. And so when you smile at someone, God says this, it's more than a smile. It's my joy. When you encourage someone, you're telling them what God is like. When you love them, you're telling them what God is like. When you serve them, you're telling them what God is like. And so God says that every action is more than an event in time. It has an eternal significance if it's done to show forth my glory. And so whenever we get up every day, we can say, I am made for the glory of God. Everything I do today is for the glory of God. Everything I do today, when I'm talking to a stranger, when I'm with my spouse or my children or my friends or whoever, I was created to receive and reflect the glory of the invisible God. What does that bring to your life? How does that make you feel about yourself and your significance in the world? This is a great and awesome thing. And this is why God made you. That's number one, that we were created for the glory of God. But the Bible also says, we see it in the garden, don't we? God would come down, he'd walk with Adam and Eve. He was a father to them. He was their creator. Because we were created to live in a relationship with God, a love relationship with him, as children, as creatures, to creator and father. And not only that, but we were created to rule creation. What did God say to Adam and Eve when he put them in the garden? He said, rule. Birds of the air, beasts of the field, fish of the sea, you rule over all of them. And multiply and fill the earth. And that's why Adam named the animals. Because he had authority on the earth. That's a horse. That's a dog. His word named the animals. Because as long as they lived under the authority of God, because God had ultimate authority in the universe, as long as they were under his kingdom and under his rulership, they had authority on the earth, and they were the rulers of the earth. Let me read a verse to you. Psalm 115, 16. It says this, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. So we were created to rule in this sphere under the authority of God, as long as we were in relationship with him. But something happened, right? And so we're building here an understanding And I want to give you an understanding today of the kingdom of God. I want to give you an understanding today of what it means to exchange kingdoms in our everyday life. And this is our calling. This is what we do. We have been sent out by Jesus to have the mission of Jesus. And that mission is to exchange kingdoms in our lives and in the lives of others. And we're going to see that. But something happened to God's created order. We were created for His glory. We were created to live in a love relationship with Him. And as long as we had those two things, we were created to rule and have authority in God's creation. But there was another creation, a spiritual realm. And in this realm were angels. And now there is one powerful angel, as we know, Lucifer, or we know him as Satan. And he stood in the presence of God. He was a powerful angel. But at some point in history, we don't know when, it entered into his heart that he wanted to be like God. And God saw this, and so what does he do? It says that he takes Satan and a third of the angels who rebelled with him, and he threw them down to earth. Now, what did Satan really want? This is important. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to rule. He wanted to have authority like God has. And so when God threw him down to the earth, did he lose his lust for power? Did he lose his lust to rule? No. What did he see? He saw that God had given rulership and authority of the earth to Adam and Eve, and he wanted it. He wanted to rule and ruin this realm. So what does he do? He takes on the form of a serpent, as we know. He goes into the garden, and what power does he use to get what he wants? Lies and deception. And we're going to see today that the only real power that the enemy has in our lives as Christians is his ability to lie to us and get us to believe him. That's his ultimate power. You were talking about thinking the things of God, thinking the truth. And so Satan goes into the garden, he goes up to Eve, and he says, "Did God really say?" Doubt, right? "Did God really say you can't eat from any of the trees?" And she says, "No, that's a lie. We can eat from all the trees except the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when we eat from it or touch it, we will die." But Satan doesn't give up, does he? What does he say? "You won't die. You won't die, Eve. God just doesn't want you to know the things that he knows." And so she sees, she's enticed by it, she eats it, she gives it to Adam, he eats it. And we know what happens. A wall goes up between Adam and Eve and God, and all of their created purposes are stolen from them. The glory of God, the fatherhood of God, and authority and rulership upon the earth. How did this happen? What was actually happening in the garden? Well, Adam and Eve chose to believe Satan and obey him over God. That's what they did, right? They actually signed a contract with him. They said, "You are right, God is wrong. We choose to hear you and believe you." And in that very act of agreeing with Satan and obeying him, what did they do? They came out from under the authority of God, and they placed themselves under what the Bible calls the kingdom or dominion of darkness. What gave Satan the right to take the authority? What gave him the right to become ruler of this creation? The agreement and obedience of Adam and Eve. And that is what Satan is seeking in your life. Because Adam and Eve were perfect, weren't they? They didn't have any sin. They lived in a perfect relationship with God. So just like Christians, we live in relationship with God. But what is Satan seeking more than anything else in our lives? One thing. He wants your agreement. He wants you to believe him rather than God. And our whole lives are going to come down to the answer to this one question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to agree with in your life? Because just like Adam and Eve came out from under the authority of God, they agreed with Satan, they are now under his kingdom, his bondage, his rulership. The same thing can happen in the lives of Christians. Now, we'll never belong to Satan. We belong to God. But our agreement, our believing his lies, gives him power and authority in certain areas of our life. And we need to recognize this so we can close those doors and come into full agreement with God. Because agreement with God releases the authority that he has given us to live supernatural lives. And that is what we want to do. And so we're going to be talking about how we can do that. So Adam and Eve came under the authority of the kingdom of darkness. And we know that every single person since them have been born into this evil kingdom. Slaves of sin, into the bondage of Satan, under the curse of death. So what is the kingdom of darkness? Well, the kingdom of darkness is composed of the enemies of God. And God has three enemies, according to the scriptures. What are these three enemies? Well, we know Satan, right? And Satan, through temptation, brings sin. And what is the wage of sin? Death. So Satan, sin, and death are the invaders of God's kingdom. They are the invaders of God's creation, and they have come together to form the kingdom of darkness. And we are all slaves of Satan, sin, and death until we find Christ. Now remember, we said that Satan wanted to be like God. Now what did God do? God created us in his image to do what? To receive and reflect his glory. That was our created purpose. So Satan wants to be like God. So what does he begin to do? He begins to recreate us in his image. For what purpose? So that we will receive and reflect his glory, his character. And so that we will pollute the earth with the character of Satan and the character of sin and the character of death, rather than the glory of God. And that's what's happened, hasn't it? We see it in our lives. You were hurt by other people. You have hurt other people. And this is how the kingdom of God is perpetuated from the beginning of time all the way till now, that we have reflected the powers of the kingdom of darkness to one another. In what particular ways has the kingdom of darkness tried to come to your life? In what particular ways have you struggled, say, with your thinking, or your emotions, or your actions, struggling with sin, or in your relationships, the enemy come and trying to bring division, argumentation? In many, many different ways, the kingdom of darkness manifests itself in our life. What does Satan want to do? He has one goal for every single human being. One goal: to keep us from God. It's all he wants to do. To wound us, keep us from God, and take us with him into his eternal judgment. That's his plan. But thank God, there is the kingdom of God. And this is what we want to spend our time talking about. So when the Bible uses the word kingdom, what does it mean? The kingdom in scriptures means this. It means the right to rule. That's what kingdom means predominantly in the Bible. The right to rule and reign. So Satan had a kingdom. So in Scripture, that means Satan had the right to rule and reign. Why? Because Adam and Eve had authority on the earth, and they gave up the authority to him because they agreed with him and they obeyed him. And that gives him a right to rule. And that is a kingdom. And so the enemy often believes that he has a right to rule in certain areas of our lives. He believes that he has a right to rule in certain areas of our families or our workplaces. Why? Because we give him this right to rule through our agreement, through our sin, through our obeying him. We can give him a kingdom in our lives. He doesn't own us. We don't belong to him. But he's plaguing our thoughts, maybe. Or he's attacking our children. Or he's attacking our marriage. Or he's attacking our bodies, maybe. But in some way, maybe today, the enemy believes that he has a right to invade an area of your life. And we want to expose that. What does that mean? And how does the kingdom of God come to push out that old kingdom so God can rule and reign in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in this community? We want the kingdom of God. We want supernatural living. We don't want what we can do. We want what God and his kingdom has come to do. And so we have to learn then to live in it. We have to learn to possess it. We have to learn what it means to operate in the power of the kingdom of God. If not, we will just be at the mercy of the enemy. And we don't want to live that way. We want to live lives that are intentional, that are purposeful, that we know the truth, it has set us free, and we know how to live it and give it away to others. That's how we want to live our lives. And that is the kingdom of God. And so it's not a fluke. We do it on purpose. That's how we live our Christian lives. And so if a kingdom is the right to rule and reign, God has his kingdom. God has the right to rule and reign in all of creation. Why? Because he made it. And it belongs to him, but it's been given up for a season until Jesus came. And Jesus came for this one purpose, so that God's kingdom would come to earth again. God's rulership, God's reign would return to our lives. So what did Jesus do when he came to earth? Well, basically, he lived a whole life up until about the age of 30, and then about the age of 30, we find him in the Jordan River with John the Baptist. And there he says to John the Baptist, "Baptize me so that all righteousness will be fulfilled." And what does he mean by that? So that the will of the Father, the will of the prophetic words, all of it will be fulfilled. And so John takes Jesus, plunges him under the water, which is a foreshadow of his death on the cross. And when he raises him up out of the water, it is a foreshadow of his resurrection and his victory. And then when Jesus comes up out of the water, what happens? The Father speaks, doesn't he? And he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I take great pleasure. Listen to him." And then the Spirit comes in the form of a dove. And so we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And what happens next? The Spirit drives Jesus into the desert where he fasts for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. Why? Why is Jesus tempted by the devil? Well, Adam was tempted by the devil, wasn't he? And when he was tempted by the devil, what happened? He sinned. And his sin caused all of us to live in the power of sin. So this is what the Bible calls the first Adam. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. Or we could just say the next Adam, but there's not going to be another one. So he's the last Adam. So what was Adam? Adam was our representative. He was the first. And the Bible says we are all in Adam. And because we are in Adam, we are under the curse of Adam. We are under the curse of his disobedience. We are under the curse of sin, and we are under the curse of death. So all the evil that comes from his disobedience flows into our life. He's our head. But Jesus is the last Adam. So through Jesus, what is God going to do? He's going to create a new humanity. Jesus now is the head of a new creation. He's the first one of all that God is going to do. He now will become our representative. And so the first Adam was tempted and he sinned. The last Adam was tempted and he doesn't sin. And so he comes out of the desert righteous, holy, pure, and able to be the representative of God's new creation. Can you see it? God is starting over. He's not tuning up Adam. He's starting again. A whole new creation that will live in a whole new kingdom. And so Jesus comes out of the desert victorious. And what is the first thing he does? Well, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I've come. And he uses the word kingdom over and over again because he's saying not only to the people, but to the rulers in the heavenly realms, "This is my creation. I have the right to rule and reign, and I will take all authority back from Satan, sin, and death." So he begins to proclaim it to Israel and to the heavenlies. The ruler has come. And then what does he begin to do? He proclaims it, but then he demonstrates it, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, what does he say? He says, "If by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you." Why? Why, if Jesus casts out demons, will you know that his kingdom has come? Remember, the word kingdom means the right to rule and reign. So in this life, where there's a demonic power, whatever it is, that demon believes that he has a right to rule and reign in this person's life, in their thoughts, in their heart, whatever it is. But Jesus comes, or a follower of Jesus comes. And by the Spirit of Christ, we say, in Jesus' name, get out. And that evil spirit leaves. Is that the end of it? No. Because the mission of Jesus and the mission of his followers is to exchange kingdoms. Our mission just isn't to kick out evil. Actually, that is not even the most important part of our mission. Our mission is to bring in the rulership and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes, kicks out the demons, and then ushers in his kingdom into the life of this person. And what did God come to bring? His glory, right? So he's kicking out the glory of Satan, and he's restoring his glory to this life. So Satan's glory is loneliness, despair, worry, fear, brokenness, rejection, division, abuse, all types of evil. That's the glory of the kingdom of darkness. But God's glory comes: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and way more. And so Jesus comes, and what does he do? Blind, see. Leper, be healed. Lame, walk. Dead, rise. Because I'm going to demonstrate now what my kingdom is really like. A kingdom of life and love and wholeness coming back to earth through Christ, the last Adam, and the new creation. And I've come to tell you today, that's your mission. Every single day, that you will enter into the mission of Christ. What did Jesus do? He would walk around identifying the kingdom of darkness, right? Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, 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 heal me. Yes, because that's not my kingdom. And that's what we do. We see the kingdom of darkness at operation every day, don't we? We see it in ourselves. Have you thought that that your mission to yourself is to exchange kingdoms? That you don't have to live in the power of the kingdom of darkness. You can say, through Christ, as we're going to see in a moment, I have authority. What is authority? Authority is the right to exercise power. That's what authority is. That's what police officers have. They have the right to exercise power. And that's what God has given us. For our own lives, for our children, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors, our churches, our workplaces, and everyone we meet, we, as the new creation, have the right to exercise the power of God. Our whole mission is all about exchange. When someone gets saved and I share the gospel with them, exchange. They've come out of darkness into light. When someone gets healed, exchange. Deliverance, exchange. Correct thinking through the word of God, exchange. A new ruler has come. In other words, God's will has come. So Jesus proclaimed it. He demonstrated it. And third, and most important, he established his kingdom. How did he do it? He did it by uniting us into his death and resurrection. That is how God established his kingdom in our lives again. And I want to read that to you from Romans chapter 6. Very powerful passage. I'm sure we've all read it many times, but let's hear it today again with fresh ears. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And Paul talks about our union with Christ. And he says this: what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe also that we will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Romans 6, 1 to 10. So what is Paul saying here? It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, that he has rescued us, talking about the Father, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. How? How does that transference take place? It takes place because God has united you into Christ, the last Adam. Let me show you what that means. All of us at one time were living in the powers of the kingdom of darkness, without hope, slaves of sin, under the curse of death. But the Father, in his great love, what did he do? He came and he rescued you. And he took the old you living in that old kingdom and he put you into Christ on the cross. So that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he absorbed from you into him all of the evil of that old kingdom. And when Jesus died on the cross, that old person, the old you, died with Christ. And then they took Jesus off the cross, they put him in the tomb, they rolled the stone over the grave, and he was there dead for 3 days. And where were you? You were dead with Christ for 3 days in the grave. But glory to God, on the third day, the Father sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, rolls the stone away, brings Jesus from death to life. Jesus comes out of the grave victorious over Satan, sin, and death. And where were you? You were in Christ, risen from the dead. A brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Do you know that one? Listen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, all things are new. And at that very moment, I want you to see it. You, when you rose with Christ, you were born again. And you became a child of God, and this is what happened. God took you out of Adam, and he put you into Christ. And all of the curses of Satan, sin, and death that came from Adam were nullified, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And now, all of the blessings will come from your new head, Jesus, because you are in Christ forever. You died with Christ, you rose with Christ, and then Paul says in Ephesians, you ascended with Christ into the heavenly realms where you are seated with Jesus Christ, and you are in him forever. And do you know that there is no power in heaven above, earth below, or under the earth that can take you out of Christ and put you back into Adam? You can't go backwards through the cross. You are in Christ forever. You're a new creation, and there's no overlap. It is completely finished. Jesus said it, didn't it? It's finished. Now, we're not perfect, but here's the good news. Because we're in Christ, what does it say in Ephesians chapter 1, 3? We talked about it last night. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is mine in Christ. I have access, you have access to everything. Everything that is in Christ. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the victorious risen Christ. We have access to his full work. See, the truth is this. He's finished it in heaven, and now he's finishing it in you. And it will happen, and it can happen, because we live in a new kingdom. We have a new ruler. And that is the truth of who you are today. And I pray that you won't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him push you down. Don't let him get you to think that you're nothing, you're insignificant, you're going to struggle your whole life. No, just tell him, I'm in Christ. I'm not in Adam. That cursed race is gone. And every day I come to do what? To receive the finished work of Christ. That's what we're doing now. We're not finishing it. We're receiving it. The power of his kingdom every day to further and further and further exchange the old for the new, the old for the new, the deeper transformation, not only in me, but Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. But you can only give away to others what you've received from God, what you possess. And the good news is this, that because you're in the last Adam, Jesus, because you're God's new creation, all of your created purposes have been restored to your life. You now, every day, have the ability to receive and reflect the glory of God, to be crowned with it, to be transformed by it, to be filled with it. Be like Moses and say, God, show me your glory. Let's not be content. Let's be bold. As it says in Hebrews, right? Boldly come before the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for us. We're far too timid. We need to be who we really are. We are those set apart for the glory of God. And now we live in what? This tremendous love relationship with God as our Father, becoming whole through the love that we were created to possess every day. And not only that, but the authority has been restored to our lives. Matthew chapter 28, just before Jesus ascends into heaven, what does he say? All authority. How much? All authority. And if Jesus has all authority, how much does Satan have? None. So all authority in heaven and on earth are mine. I'm the ruler. And then what does he say? You go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey me and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the exchange through the authority that Jesus has given us. Again, what is authority? Authority is the right to exercise power. I want you to see this now. So Jesus has taken authority from Satan. He didn't say he took power from him. He said he took authority from him. And authority is the right to exercise power. So Satan still has all the power he's ever had, but he no longer has the right to use it in our lives, in the new creation. If Satan uses his power in our lives, we have to give him the right to do it. And of course, we do that quite a lot, unfortunately, because we sin, right? And we're in the process of being transformed, and there's still baggage from our past life that inflicts us on a daily basis. And because of that, we have the propensity at times to believe his lies, to agree with him and to obey him, to live in fear and doubt, to struggle in our thinking and all of that. He will take it as a right to come and rule and reign in an area of our lives. But please see, you are always in Christ, which means that you have access fully and freely to his finished work and his kingdom and authority. So where has the church lost it? The church has lost it, I think, in two primary areas: belief and the exercise of our authority. That's where we've fallen short as Christians. That every day, year after year, we come and we hear a sermon But it doesn't go into our hearts. It doesn't transform our lives. It doesn't change our thinking as it should. But we still, for some reason, find it far easier to believe the voice and ways of Satan than the power and glory of God. And that is what we have to recognize. In what areas are you still agreeing with the enemy? What lies have you been believing? Because remember, that's what Adam and Eve did, right? The enemy had no ability to have authority in their lives. None. In and of himself, he could not do anything to rule the earth. He needed the people who had the authority to give it to him. And then he came. Now he has a right to rule. And it's the same in our lives. We give Satan authority. By the lies we believe, by the sin we commit, and in many ways, the suffering with our wounds. Often in our suffering, we believe lies, don't we? Because it's a very painful thing. I understand that. I lived in the power of lies for many, many years, and what I didn't realize was this. My lies were trapping me in the kingdom of darkness in those areas because I continued to give Satan the right to rule and reign in that area of my life. And so that is why believing the truth is the first step on the road to freedom. Bringing the truth is the first step to setting people free, and that is why we preach the gospel, so that they will hear and believe the truth. And when they do, the Spirit draws them. They're born again. They become children of God. They're put into Adam. And now what begins? A transformation process. Every day of, I agree with God. I'm growing in His Word. I'm filling my mind with it. I'm giving my heart to Him. I'm inviting Him to come to fill me. I'm exchanging every day. Lord, I confess my sin. I exchange my sin for forgiveness. I exchange this heartache for your love. I enter in to the great exchange in a purposeful way. Why? Because I have authority. I have authority over my own heart and my own life, over everything on the earth. Do you know that there's no one alive who has greater authority in you, in your life, than you? And you have the authority to let the enemy in or close the door on him. Also, parents, there is no one on the face of the earth who has more authority in the lives of their children than you do. And you are the gatekeepers to your home. And what you will let into your home is in a big way going to determine what your children believe. And I'm not saying you're 100% responsible for everything they hear and listen. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we need to be as vigilant as we can be to identify the kingdom of darkness, and then, in authority and power, exchange the kingdoms. And I'm not saying that's going to happen at the snap of the finger all the time, but it's a process. So parents, how are your children struggling? And God has given you a mission to exchange kingdoms in their lives, to identify their weaknesses, their struggles, the lies that they're believing. And then what do we do? What's the first thing? Truth is first. As truth is believed, then we can bring a person out of darkness into light. Why? Because we've destroyed the contract of agreement between that person and the kingdom of darkness. And when that contract is destroyed, we have authority over these demonic powers. Not because of us, but because of Christ in us. And that is why we pray in the name of Jesus, because it's His government and His authority that we are using, and we are exercising the power that He gives us. Every day, supernatural living. And so it's my prayer that all of us here today will take it seriously. And that we will say, we can right now live this way. We don't have to choose any longer to agree with the devil. We can recognize, renounce, and break those agreements today. And then if they come back, what do? Do we worry about them? No. We recognize, renounce, and break their power again. Don't be afraid of the works of the kingdom of darkness. We are simply called to recognize them and then bring the power of truth into them. But let's think about us today. Let's think about our hearts, our minds, our lives. What are the areas that you're struggling? Because predominantly in our areas of struggle, behind them is a lie that we are believing. Either that lie brought the struggles, or the struggles bring the lie. But they reinforce one another as time goes by. And so how is it that the kingdom of darkness comes to your life? Is it in your thinking, in your heart, in your families? What is it? We want to recognize that today, renounce the lies, agree with God, and exercise the authority that He has given us to do what? To bring in His kingdom, His rulership in that area. And most often, that's a process. It's a process of building a new kingdom within us, day after day. First, recognizing who we are. Second, recognizing the truth of what we have. Third, appropriating the kingdom of God and the finished work of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to exchange kingdoms. That's the Christian life. That's how we live. We do it for ourselves, and we do it for others, and that is supernatural living. And it is not for some Christians and not others. I don't have any more authority than you have. It's just this. My greatest authority is in different areas than your greatest authority. So I have authority to preach and teach the Word of God, whereas you may not. You have other authorities. And so we want to know the sphere in which God primarily wants us to exercise our gifts, our calling, and the authority that we have. But all of us, please hear me, have the authority in our heart and our families. All of us. And as a matter of fact, you have way more authority in your family than I do. And that's why if anything's happening in your family, I'll come, but my role will be to agree and to help you exercise your authority, because both God and Satan recognize the parental structure of the family. And that's important to know. And so I want to encourage you today. Pick up your authority in Christ by knowing your identity in Christ and knowing your mission that He's given to you, because it's alive. No matter what you've gone through or what you are going through, your authority can't be diminished by events. It can only be diminished by your thoughts and what you believe, because that's the barrier. And so we want to pray today. We want to pray first to recognize and renounce the lies, to tear up the contracts. And the lies we want to try and trace today are the lies that are coming from our areas of struggle. I want to trace it back. What am I believing about God? What am I believing about my circumstances? What am I believing about myself because of this difficulty that are lies? And what is God saying to me about what He's doing or what He wants to do, and about who I am in the midst of my struggles? The enemy wants you to take your struggles on as an identity. That's his goal. This is who you are. You'll never get out of it. It's never really going to get better. So God wants to break that identity so that your true identity blossoms in truth and power in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do today. And then we're going to pray over our own hearts for an exchange. And really believe. Who knows? Maybe right now there's going to be an incredible breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Let's believe for that. But what I do know for sure is that this lived in process with a walk with God every day will transform your life forever.
Amen.
Here and now, even before you get to glory. And that is growing on purpose. That is what God is calling you to. Do you want this today?
Yeah.
Yeah, amen, so do I. Let's stand, please, and let's believe God. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done in Christ. Lord, it is just so supernatural. And we give you thanks today that we are new creatures, new creations. We thank you that we live in your kingdom, Lord Jesus, and we have access to your finished work through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would come now. Come now and fill us again. Fill us with faith to believe what we've heard today. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What will the truth set you free from? From the lies of the devil. So, Lord, let your word of truth go deep into our hearts right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Yes. Just focus on Jesus right now. Let the eyes of your heart just begin to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, right now, thank him for who you are in him. Come, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord. What a mighty God we have. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come right now and reveal to you any lies that you've been believing about yourself, about God, about your circumstances. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come now and that you would bring revelation. We pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that you would reveal to us any agreements that we have with the enemy. Any contracts that we've signed in our heart, even unknowingly, Lord, that you would speak to us and show us that we would tear them up today. So just listen to the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask for an increase, Lord, an increase in revelation. Father, we thank you for the revelation that you've brought. And we thank you for the freedom that is ours in Christ. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now of renouncing these lies. And when I say renouncing, I don't just mean, oh, I reject it. I mean that you're tearing it up. You're tearing up the contract. Right in your heart. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us the truth. And the truth will set us free and will rise up in the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. So let's pray now. Just pray after me. We bring them before Jesus. Let's pray out loud together. Lord Jesus, I come to you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I choose today to agree with you. I choose now to renounce the lies of the devil. I tear them up in my heart and mind. And so in Jesus' name, right now, I renounce believing. Now name it. Speak it out. Let it out of you. Tear it up by faith as you speak it out right now. Cut the cord of agreement between you and the devil right now. And don't allow these lies to pollute your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, any part of you. It is pollution. Come, Holy Spirit. Rise up in faith right now. You have the authority to renounce these lies. You have the authority to rip them up in your heart, in your mind. Choose your agreement today. And right after your renunciation, right after you've torn them up, I want you right now to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you the truth. What is God saying to you? Just ask him right now. More, Lord. More. More revelation. Spirit of truth, come. Yes. And as he speaks it, you and Jesus right now just tell Jesus, Jesus, I agree with you. Take that agreement on board right now. Ask the Spirit to put it deep within you. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Let truth come. Let truth come. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit. Let that truth come, I pray, right now. Deep into the heart of this precious daughter. I declare you are a daughter of truth and life and freedom. Thank you, Lord. More, more. Let truth come to the heart of this daughter right now. That's right. Bathe her in it, Lord. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Let truth fill the heart of this daughter right now, I pray. Keep coming, Lord. Yes, yes, the power of truth. The power of knowing your identity in Christ. Let that invade the heart of your people today. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh. Just as a visual, just got a visual from God right now, and he says, take off the coat of lies. Just take it off right now and put on the coat of truth. More, Holy Spirit. Raid into the heart of your precious daughter here. Truth. Oh. And the freedom it brings.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord for what he's doing right now. Empower him with praise and thanksgiving.
Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Yes. Wow. More, Lord. More, Lord.
So just declare over your mind right now, I have the mind of Christ. That's what the scripture says. We have the mind of Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And I pray right now over each and every one of us that a revelation of our identity in Christ would grip our hearts. What we heard today about being in Christ, that we are new creations, let that grip your heart right now. See yourself seated in the heavenly realms with the risen Christ, far above all earthly rulers and authorities, and every name that is named. That's where you are positionally right now, in Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. And so that means you're not defeated. It is impossible for you to be defeated if you stay by faith in Christ. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and that you would just take off of this daughter, Lord, all of the lies, all of the doubt and the fear, and that you would come and fill her right now with extraordinary faith and extraordinary truth. Whoa, it's funny, I just saw you. You know, like a snake sheds its old skin. I just saw you shedding that old skin and you're coming out just as a, actually the better example is the butterfly in the cocoon. I just saw you coming out, emerging. I say yes to it right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Whoa. Lord Jesus, I take authority over the powers of the kingdom of darkness that have tried to come invade the life of this daughter. And we just say no right now in Jesus' name. Get off of her. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes. More, Lord. Yes. Keep coming, Lord. That's right. Right in your heart right now, precious one, just agree with God. No weapon formed against you can prosper. The Lord is here right now. And agree with me. Use your authority right now in Christ. Agree with me. That these dark powers are peeling away from your life right now. And the glory of God is coming. The glory of the King is filling you. I declare it in the mighty name of Jesus. More, Lord. Go deeper. Go deeper, Lord, right into her heart today. Yes. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. That's right. Stay in that place of exchange right now. Thank you, Lord. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Lord Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. More, Lord. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. More. More, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.